All right, well. So we were doing a... our usual production meeting on Thursday. And I was driving down Kent Kangley Road in Kent, and I found what is possibly the best church leaderboard I have ever seen. Guys, are you ready for this, Mike?
I'm just a Twitter with anticipation.
Okay. All right, here it is. 50 Shades of Grace.
50 Shades of Grace.
50 Shades of Grace. And in front of a church, if you will. I mean, it was the weirdest thing.
Well, it just says that some things become big enough in our popular culture that it's impossible to not do a cheap parody of them about 6 months after they're timely.
But this is a church.
You're referencing.
Is this a direction that a church really wants to go into? I mean, what's the next? What's the next one? Behind the Grace Door? Where does this go?
Well, the church attendance is down, and they've got to try some new things.
I guess that's one way.
It's kind of reminding me of the...
Their hands are tied.
Oh, dear. I'm going to leave that. I can't top that one.
Yeah, okay. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Give us a call if you got one in ya. I am happy to announce that this week is our 150th episode of Ask an Atheist.
Oh, my goodness. 150 hours of Ask an Atheist?
150 hours of me yammering at you.
We apologize.
About the lack of something. About the nothing versus something argument. So we thought we would talk about some of the things that we've covered over the last 3 years on Ask an Atheist, and you know, sort of give you an update on them rather than getting hit on the head and pretending that I have amnesia so that we have to play clips of the show so I can remember what I do.
Oh, I was hoping to be lazy.
Yeah. we're going to revisit some of the important stories, but first I would like to thank Peggy from Kent, Washington, or Fool's Kent, and Richard from Kent, UK, or True Kent, or Kent, or I don't know what you would call. We're getting Peggy's challenge is being met by Peggy and Richard, both from Kent, but a world away.
Yeah, it's kind of
a continent and an ocean.
I think it's important to note that Richard donated to the show immediately after I posted our most recent blog post to askanatheist.tv, which there's not much to the story. Benny Hinn is asking for $2 million from his followers to help get him out of debt.
Yeah, he's apparently in trouble, but
yeah.
There's another side to that story.
Well,
he's not exactly, you know, begging for money out of a tin cup on the side of the road.
No.
And it's not as if he has, $14 million in assets anywhere.
My argument is essentially visual. And if you would like to see my visual argument to Benny Hinn needing $2 million to get out of debt, you can go to askanatheist.tv and see our blog post there. You know, so like I said, this is our 150th episode of the show. And we started out not on KLAY here in Tacoma, but we started out on a cable access channel up in Seattle. We were once, believe it or not, couldn't tell it from looking at us, but we were once TV personalities.
Yeah, I'm glad that's over.
So one of the things that we never really talked about, and I guess now it can be told, is what happened, why we had to go from SCAN to KLAY, and some of the weirdness that we encountered while we were there at SCAN.
Yeah, we were, I guess you could say we were the only part of the station that wasn't a clique, aside from maybe management, that the people who largely populated the shows on SCAN, that's Seattle Cable Access Network,
yeah,
the late Seattle Cable Access Network, were mostly conspiracy theorists, and this was everybody, even the shows that weren't about conspiracies, all five of them.
Yeah, the Blues Music Show had Conspiracy Theory Corner.
Yeah,
it was very odd.
She just went off on fluoridation at one point, and I'm like, really, you two? It's like that moment in a spy movie where, you know, the good guy pulls his gun on the bad guy, and then all his friends pull their guns, and they realize, oh my god, I'm alone. It's like that, where you realize, oh my god, it's all of you.
Yeah.
You're all crazy.
To be fair, there was some really excellent news programs.
No, not to be fair.
Not to be fair.
Not
okay.
To be fair. Because we're talking about the people who killed SCAN.
True. Okay. And it was not the 16-year-old high schoolers learning TV production and oral histories who killed SCAN.
No,
that was an amazing part
of
SCAN.
It was the people, when I had to go to SCAN, or when I went to the SCAN producers meeting, and I say had to go, but I wanted to go. When I went to the SCAN producers meeting and I sat down next to, Andre the Giant's grandfather from the looks of it, And he told me that ISO 9001 was a Bilderberg plot to kill us all. Every time you'd sit down, anything that bad that happened to Scan would be tied directly to some international plot to kill Americans.
Yeah. Casey Doran and I went to one of the first production meetings when we had started the show at Scan, and very early on, it quickly became derailed. These producer meetings were some of the least productive meetings I've ever been a part of, because even though we're all using heavily used equipment that everybody in the station uses and have used since probably the early 90s, you immediately jump to the conclusion of, oh, well, the sound on my last program didn't work, or there was a bit of a delay, therefore Bigfoot faked the moon landing to fluoridate my water with chemtrails.
Right, and the video stream for Scan was notoriously bad because their bandwidth budget, just they couldn't meet their bandwidth budget. Everybody was watching the station. They had enough bandwidth for about maybe 5 or 6 listeners, and it continually had 10 and 20 listeners on it. And they upgraded their stream, but everybody still kept complaining, even though everyone could watch their TV shows. There's the color was wrong or something like that. And we said at a producers meeting, we said, we don't have a problem with the stream. It's not perfect, but it works. And they told, well,
they looked at us like, and it was very clear from the insinuation of what they were saying that we were clearly part of the problem. It's funny. These same people, this same clique of crazy, misanthropic, weirdo misfits always seem to quiet a little bit, and the temperature would drop by a few degrees whenever we entered the room.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't want to talk in front of us. And they would sometimes send, I guess it was the guy with the vest, Dr. Mount, would come into our studio while we were trying to get ready, and we had to shoo him out with a broom, because it was clear that they were watching us.
They were spying on us while we were doing production.
Well, accusing us of spying on them. But, of course, nobody watched their show.
Well, when we told them about the fact that we didn't have the problems with the stream that they were talking about, they were well, you wouldn't have those problems.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen to you. We wouldn't have those problems. It kind of makes me think, you know, all right, well, is it because we are specifically atheistic and we are skeptics by nature? And we say, is it kind of like prayer only works for people who believe in prayer. And if I say, well, prayer doesn't work for me. Oh, well, you wouldn't have that kind of relationship with prayer. Is it the kind of the same thing that conspiracies only happen to the people who believe that conspiracies exist?
No, they thought we were a part of the conspiracy.
They thought we'd been sent by the government to watch them and probably shut them down, even though the station was on the verge of failure every 2 years.
There was no question about this. It was about they thought we were part of the conspiracy. And we're talking about 2010. We're talking about a Seattle city government that's $40 million in the hole. And they need to make cuts. Youth programs, youth sports is disappearing. They're talking about closing and selling off parks. Things are looking really bad.
So an easy cut would be, hey, let's cut the program where the guy says Kurt Cobain was murdered and this person who says that 9/11 is an inside job.
Yeah. What most people knew about Scan was that there was some guy who was showing hardcore pornography at certain times of the day. This was years ago. He had been removed from the station. They had put in rules to prevent him from coming back. But the fact of the matter is, that's what a lot of people remembered from Scan. Save for the fact there were some really good youth programs on there. There were the folks who were at Scan, who were working at Scan, were doing some really good shows. They were doing a lot of community access. One show that was on Scan, which I was fortunate enough to be on, The High Bar with Warren Etheridge. Recently, he moved to KBTC, which is here in Tacoma, and they were recently nominated for a local Emmy. There was good programming on Scan.
This has always been one of my issues with public access, especially around the West Coast. Anything west of the Mississippi, we tend to have this weird attitude about public access, and it tends to be sort of, I guess you could say the best thing about Scan was that it kept certain people off the street.
Yeah.
But the truth is that, you know, this is a great public service. There's not a lot of public programming that you get in most regions nowadays, aside from maybe the local news. You don't get a lot of local programming. So public access should be the place where you're able to, like, local nonprofit organizations, local political groups, local sketch comedy groups. I mean, things like that, you know, artists. But instead, what ends up happening is it becomes sort of this sort of zone that kind of pulls in and sucks in all of the crazy in an area, and that becomes its reputation. And because that's its reputation, good people who are creating good art don't go there, and it becomes an easy cut.
And there's cable access in Seattle now, but there's no studio. The production stuff, you know, it's basically do-it-yourself production. The only way to do a show on cable access in Seattle now is to have to invest in equipment. And so what did we do? We moved to KLAY, 1180 AM here in Tacoma. And one of the first things we did, we actually began this segment at SCAN, but it really built and turned into something huge here at KLAY. And this was our countdown to backpedaling. And the countdown to backpedaling was something Mike got started. And it was about the guy in 2011 who was saying that the world was going to end in May. And Family Stations Incorporated is the home of the low-rent Nostradamus, who goes by the name of Harold Camping. And we spent a lot of time talking about him in 2011. We got mentioned on BBC. I was quoted in the BBC. You know, you did a interview at Como. We were on Reuters. We hit the Jerry Doyle Show, which is another show at the time that was on here on KLAY. We got a lot of attention for it. And now, according to some research from the Christian Post, they can now say that they spent $5 million alone on billboard advertising in 2011.
And these are the billboard advertisements that said, we can know. We can know when the Lord is returning.
This is the we can know stuff. Yeah. But it gets better, if you would. Ultimate costs for their entire dog and pony show are expected to be in the range of $100 million, with $43.5 million spent in 2011 alone. In 2011, Family Radio took in $21.9 million in grants, gifts, and contributions. This is stuff that was figured out by the Christian Post last month. They requested the documents from the IRS. They got the documents. Family Radio is a nonprofit. That $100 million they spent, that was donations. That was taken from people, much like Benny Hinn, that was taken from people who don't command 50 radio stations, mm-hmm. who don't have $100 million, you know, bankrolls, who don't have all of this media exposure.
Yeah, this is the part that I find sort of fascinating, because nationally, nobody's really heard of Harold Camping, that right. he's not a figure. He's on radio stations much the way we are, like small radio stations that maybe have even smaller range than us.
No, some of them are smaller range than ours, but they actually have, Family Radio owns a radio station in Seattle.
Oh, what I'm getting at is that it's sort of like they go out to, like us, to a smaller range of people, times 1,000.
Right.
That these things are sprinkled all over the country. And it's amazing that a fringe group like that, that has repeatedly made false claims about the end of the world and gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like saying, oh, it's just across that range. Sorry, you know, Mario, the Armageddon is in another castle. And they never really put a specific date on it. They have put like four specific dates.
Yeah. Starting
on the end of the world.
And starting in like 94, I think.
I mean, I don't even know how they talk around the many feet that they have in their mouth.
Yeah.
At this point. Yet, they continue to do this, yet they still command enough people by their fourth attempt. Still, we're giving them millions and millions of dollars through those, I don't know how many hundreds of stations around the country.
And we would love to see some of that money actually being returned to some of their followers to benefit them. I mean, I'm sure that these folks aren't well off. New York Times profiled a family that gave up their entire kids' college savings to do this.
Yeah. As it happens, Camping backpedaled almost immediately, revising his prophecy to say that May 21st was a spiritual judgment day. Hmm. Camping said his company would not return money donated by followers to publicize the failed May 21st prediction, stating, we're not at the end. Why would we return it?
Oh, so we won't give you money until there's no money to give.
Yeah, exactly. This is Benny Hinn. This is all of those televangelists. This is Family Radio. They are predatory organizations that prey on people, you know, who prey on people who don't have life as good as they do, who don't have a lot of money.
That's what I find really insulting about the Benny Hinn thing, is especially, but you know, Harold Camping as well, is that these are people who are not lacking for necessities in life. They have a lot.
Yeah.
And you have these sorts of situations like Benny Hinn. He's like, oh my God, I need $20 million or God is going to punish me. You know, he could just sell his jet.
Yeah.
I mean, he can just sell.
That's exactly what it's at, what I'm doing on the website with those pictures.
You can do just one thing. You can sell one thing you have. You don't have to worry about going under. It's not like I'm going to live in the poorhouse and I'm going to have, you know, he's not eating top ramen right now.
On the other hand, he said he needed $2 million and he managed to raise $1.4 million in an hour. I mean, that's all it took. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back in a moment, we're going to continue revisiting some of the stories that we've talked about in 150 episodes of Ask an Atheist.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
So what does everybody want to play?
Something new?
Something with guns. Lots of guns.
Something that supports playing other than combat, you knob.
Jerk face.
All right, how about Dead Stars from Dame and I Publishing? It's a sci-fi game that uses the Universal Decay rules. This system has an emphasis on social and technical skills, yet allows technical characters to make thousands of different weapons.
Hey, psionics.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be a bug with big freaking guns.
Shapeshifting tech head for me.
Check out DameandI.net for the sci-fi horror game Dead Stars, or to get involved in the community forums. Dead Stars, now available on Amazon.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Or rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's best source of atheist videos. Visit atheismtv.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And I need $2 million. So give me $2 million.
We've got an hour.
Yeah, we've got an hour. I need $2 million or God will do something weird to me.
And then you won't be able to fly to Jakarta and go on a healing crusade.
Exactly. Now, I'm sort of lying. We do need money, though. You know, this is a show that is sponsored by you guys. You guys help us keep it running. We also do sell advertising, obviously, but another thing that we do is we do events, and our next event is coming up. It's on June 21st, and it is a live music event. There will be Animals in Cars, Variety Hour, Sleepy Pilot, and Body Box featuring Nick Kennedy, who has been on the show. And it's at Luigi's at 5219 Pacific Highway East in Fife. Again, that's Friday, June 21st. $10 at the door, or tickets are available at Brown Paper Tickets. You can go to askanatheist.tv right now and look at the details.
Yeah, and again, we can't just sell a jet to keep our show on the air.
Yeah.
This is not a situation where we have about five mansions. Yeah, we need your help, because, of course, we don't make the same big paycheck that Benny Hinn does.
No, I certainly don't dress like
We don't make a paycheck at
Benny
all.
Benny Hinn either.
The thing is, we're not going to... We promise not to lay hands upon you and go on a healing crusade. Just hear some nice pop music.
Maybe if you ask nicely. So we have a voicemail. This is James from Chandler, Arizona, and he has an idea about the Atheism Shoes package problem.
Hello, this is James B. out of Chandler, Arizona. It's my Monday morning commute. I'm listening to your show. Finish this segment about you guys mailing the packages. I think you should do it reverse. Have your listeners mail packages to you, and then you could update them that way. I'm not sure how to work the tape and how to get the messages, but it would be, instead of you trying to, you know, come up with all the costs, it'd be your listeners, like me, who would be sending you something. Okay, have a great day.
So we get packages, which would be cool.
Yeah.
And it's a way to, you weren't here last week, but we talked about the atheist tape and stuff like that. And we talked about a ways of replicating that experiment in order to test if the delays that they were seeing made sense, you know, with domestic
This is the German shoe company that had the packing tape that said atheist on it, and they were getting lost in the mail?
Exactly.
And it kind of would test to say, hey, is it just the fact that there's tape? Is it the fact that there's the word atheist written on it versus the word feminist or, bowling league?
And that was
or
the thing.
NAMBLA.
That was the thing that we talked about. Is it explicitly the word atheist that causes these packages to get delayed, or is it any sort of... any sort of politically or spiritually or charged word that would get these packages shipped, delayed?
Well, I don't think it's anything institutional coming from the post office. Obviously, there's not somebody at the top saying we need to stop atheists from getting their packages.
No, there's no vice president of package delay.
But the United States Post Office employs millions of people, and some of those people are jerks, and some of those people have no problem taking something they don't like and just tossing it in the trash. So I'd say some of that is definitely politically motivated. I would never say all, because I could never assume.
I maintain that at least one of those lost packages of atheist shoes was an atheist postal worker that was like, I really want this package for myself.
Really?
I don't know.
Do you really? Really?
I don't know. I mean, if we're up at, 15, 20%.
Becky's just trying to admit that
country.
She steals things.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, never hire me, USPS.
Well, that's a nice way. That's a way to sort of candy coat it. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about shipping and shipping for the USPS and the UPS and DHL. They all go through places that are not particularly kind to atheists.
True.
Or people who do not follow, who do not have religious privilege. And that's a nice way to think about it, and it's a nice way to candy coat it. But I think it's way more likely that if these packages are being delayed for ideological reasons, they're bad ideological reasons.
Yeah, if I was living in, say, Alabama and I'd ordered these shoes from Germany, the chances are if it goes through an Alabama post office, the odds of it encountering a person who doesn't like me and has no problem throwing that in the trash is higher.
Mm-hmm. And these are people who are likely thinking, who probably what might be happening is that they're seeing these packages that say atheist on them, and that bzz, bzz, militant atheist light goes on, and they think, well, there might be something bad in these packages, so we must inspect them a lot.
Because clearly there's a lot of violence going through the mail because of atheists.
So,
oh, wait, no, there isn't.
No, yeah, none. So his idea of having people send us packages, I think, has some merit, because it does sort of spread the costs around. And it would give us a very – and from the multiple locations that we could get, if listeners would want to participate, it could give us a very clear picture about what gets delayed and what doesn't.
If you want a real test case, this might be a bit controversial, but here's something you could put on the tape.
All right.
Islam.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
If you want something where they're like, oh, my God, it's a bomb.
Yeah.
That's the one that's more likely to set off a stupid person than probably any word.
But part of what we wanted to do is make sure that it was words that were politically and socially charged, but not words that were like inciting words or violent words, like not murder, not blood, not anything.
Anthrax.
Not anthrax, of course.
Unless it's coming from the band.
Maybe.
I wonder how often their records get delayed.
I bet we can ask.
Yeah.
So
I think we should ask our listeners to stay tuned for sort of a follow-up on that.
Yeah, I think we might give this a shot. If you have some ideas, do go to askanatheist.tv or give us a call at 253-584-1480. Later on in Ask an Atheist, we've started doing a lot more interviews. I think early on we tried to avoid interviews because we thought we would be bad at them. And as we sort of learned the craft of doing Ask an Atheist, we started doing more and more interviews. In 2012, honestly, I thought Harold Camping and the countdown to backpedaling and all the press that we got was going to be, Ask an Atheist big push, and it would never be anything quite like what it was in 2011. And that would be sort of our legacy. Honestly, I thought 2012 was a way bigger year for us than 2011.
Yeah, I think that as we get more attention, we get more listeners, and we get more listeners to get more attention, and I think these things grow organically. And I think that Countdown to Backpedaling would be bigger now if we had the size of the audience we have now in 2011.
I think also we didn't just get better at doing interviews, but we realized there's a whole lot of interesting atheists in the world.
Yeah.
And in the U.S. And doing some really cool stuff.
I think we knew that going out of the gate, because that was why we started doing the show.
Okay,
though.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
So one of the people we interviewed, and honestly one of the most difficult interviews I've done thus far, was Teresa McBain and Jerry DeWitt. They were just starting, it was right after the Reason Rally, they were just starting to talk about the Clergy Project and the importance of the Clergy Project. And I'm really happy to report that now, a year later, Teresa McBain has been everywhere in the sort of the free thought community. She's worked for a lot of organizations, including humanists and a humanist organization in Florida.
Well, yeah, she spent some time as the public relations director for American Atheist, and now she's gone home to Florida, and she's the executive director of the Humanists of Florida Association. And one of the things that's just really neat, if you follow Teresa through Facebook or you're a Facebook friend with Teresa, you see some really amazing things that she does in touching, you know, different areas of the country and different groups and whatnot. And there was a time most recently when she said, hey, I have a family member. They're in tough times. Parents are out of work and their child's really sick and child requires some really pricey, you know, medical intervention and treatment that is not covered by any kind of insurance.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about the merits of that not being covered by insurance at a later time. But, you know, and she said, hey, they are religious. They are my religious family. They went to their church and the church said, I'm sorry, we just don't have the means to help. And the family member said, Teresa, would the atheists be up for helping us out in this way? And she put the call out on Facebook, and within a week, they had the entire medical diet funded for this child for 3 months.
And it wasn't a formalized thing. It wasn't done through any organization. It was just everybody talking on social media, just talking to each other on a person-to-person basis, and we pulled through. And that's something that you won't hear on the news. You won't hear about the atheism movement and what's been going on in Boston. You won't hear about the atheism. You know, you only hear it when we as atheists point it out. And that's why Ask an Atheist has been important to us, and why we think it's what we do is important.
Yeah, and when we point it out, they call us names. And then we don't point it out, they say, where were you? So it's a bit of a catch-22 that they throw us into. And speaking of the Boston situation, which was terrible, I'm sure you're familiar with what happened with Greg Epstein after that him and the Harvard Humanist Chaplaincy wanted to speak at the interfaith.
We're actually hoping to have him on soon to talk about that. So,
and he got the runaround. And
he did.
It's the same sort of situation where people see the A word, or they see even the implication of the A word, and they treat us like garbage. There's this, and this is the part that probably offends me the most. Is that people see that and there's, I'm supposed to just accept that there's something inherently harmful and offensive about me and that I should just go away when times are tough.
Well, that's why when the media doesn't do what you want it to do, when you feel like you're being unrepresented by the media, what you got to do is become the media. And that's what we've been trying to do here at Ask an Atheist. But to sort of bring it back to Teresa McBain, sort of, there's sort of a cherry on top of this Sunday is that she was recently named the Atheist of the Year at the 2012 American Atheist Convention. And I think that's a well-placed award. Teresa has been great for the movement, and her story is incredibly compelling. And if you haven't heard that episode, you should go back and listen. It's all available on askanatheist.tv. It's part of the 150 hours of us yammering at you that we've managed to assemble in the last 3 years.
And it's really nice seeing sort of Teresa McBain and Jerry DeWitt talk about their involvement with recovering from religion and then the Clergy Project and just the really neat things that are coming out. Jerry's got a book coming out soon, Hope After Faith, and all sorts of stuff. And there's good stuff coming out from non-religious people and even those that have been really tied to religious communities for a very long time.
And if you really look at what they did, which is that they were both members of the clergy. And as we said, you know, when you're a member of the clergy, it's not just like working at the bank.
Yeah.
That you're always on duty. Every part of your life is tied into this job. Every part of this job is tied into your identity. And when you leave that, you leave more than, it's not like, oh, I quit at the bank, but every other part of my life is exactly the same.
Yeah.
You lose everything, and you lose a lot of your social arguments. Your social, your just network is just gone, and sometimes they will outright abandon you, as was the case with Jerry and Teresa. And what I love about this story is that doesn't, you can see how they are not in a terrible place right now.
No. Their lives didn't end when they joined our community.
And it says to everyone else that was in the position, and it is in the position now that they were in, that you are a clergy who don't believe. You don't like the things that you feel like you're forced to say, and you don't know how to do anything else. This is not the end of your life. You are not stuck there. That you can be happy and leave this.
There are skills that you have, which the atheism community, with the atheism visibility movement, does need. But you have to drop the dogma, and you have to drop the authority. And there's... And Jerry and Teresa are showing people how to do it in a respectable way, in a way that doesn't hurt you. I think there's real power to this. But there's, you know, when there's the one interface between religion and the atheism community, and then there's another one. And this is another interview we did right at about the same time. Actually, just a few weeks previously, we interviewed Alain Baton.
Hmm.
And he was one of our most internally contentious interviews. Mike and I, we fought over that one, and it was a difficult time. At the time, Debattant was on a book tour for his book, Religion for Atheists, and we felt that the interviews he was doing, weren't giving him the time to make the arguments that he was trying to make. So we gave him a whole episode to make them. We went to his hotel and interviewed him. While Mike and I disagreed strongly on a couple key points, we agreed that his ideas about the state of the atheism movement were naive. We hoped that they would change, but if his appearances on the recent press are any indication, they really haven't.
He's dug in.
Yeah, he really has dug in. But this was a contentious thing for us. You know, you were really worried because I wasn't telling you what my opinions on things were.
Well, I looked at this guy, and I see this guy who basically has no attachment to our community or anyone in it at all, that he lives in academia, that I don't think he knows how to talk to anybody outside of the little circle of friends that he has.
In the UK, no less.
Yeah.
And he goes and shows up and tells us how we should be organizing ourselves while making it clear with every word that comes out of his mouth that he has no idea what our life experience is. He has no idea what the situation is with our religious privilege in the United States is.
Yeah.
Not only is he living in a bubble in academia, he's living in a bubble inside of a bubble inside of the UK.
So I found his speech at Meany Hall up at UW to be, I said then, it felt like a self-satisfied conversation. It was him standing in, him representing the atheism community, going to religious people and saying, no, you're okay, don't worry about it, that Richard Dawkins guy, he's a jerk. And then when I met him in person, I found him an engaging conversationalist, and when I challenged him on things in interviews, he met it head on. He didn't dodge, he didn't try and like go anywhere. He actually directly answered my questions, and I really appreciated that. And I thought that gave me some hope that in the future maybe he would see, you know, atheism in America for what it is and the sort of challenges that we face, and then he would change what he was saying accordingly. But he really hasn't. And so he's being cited as the kinder, gentler alternative to people like Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, and, well, not stated outright, people like us. Most recently, he's written a manifesto which includes what the press is calling 10 Commandments for Atheists.
Groan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing, is that, again, in the time between now and then, he isn't interested in engaging with us.
Right.
We had to seek him out. That's a problem, is that this is a bit like S.E. Cupp in this regard. I don't know if S.E. Cupp is not a person who has anything to do with the atheist community, is not somebody that we've ever heard of before they were promoted by religious people specifically as a contrast for us.
Well, when you said seek us out, you're talking about the atheism community in general, because I actually think the folks representing Debattant actually did contact us. So,
okay.
I went there for an interview.
Okay,
yes.
Never mind.
Right. See, that's the thing, though, is that you never hear about these people because there's people in our community who go, you know what? I disagree with them, but this is is really great. And there is no faction anywhere within the atheist community that I've ever encountered.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get contentious. We can fight over things. We can form factions and duke it out and have our little internal
fire. That never happens. What are you talking about?
But there is no one rallying for this guy. The same way I don't see anyone rallying for S.E. Cupp, because there's this real sense that this isn't somebody whose career it is to speak for any faction of us at all. Their job is to speak about us to people who don't like us.
Yeah.
That the only people who bolster up Alain Baton as if he's a leader in our movement are religious people. The same way the only people who bolster up S.E. Cupp as if she has something to say about our community are religious people.
I think there's definitely, I mean, there's a place for someone to be an atheist and not involved or connected to, per se, the atheist community or a humanistic community. But again, they're generally not speaking about atheism on behalf of atheists or anything
like
that.
Well, I think there are people asking for Debattant, and I think it is religious people who are, you know, I talked about this last week, is there, everybody's throwing a lot of Islamophobia around about the atheism movement, even though we're treating Islam exactly the way we treat Christianity. They found a new argument and they're using it against us.
And it's the cheap one. It's a racism accusation.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing here is that he's got these 10 guidelines that he calls them guidelines. The press is obviously going to call them commandments because there's 10 of them and they're 10 rules for how to act. And this gives religious people an opportunity to say, hey, look, you know, atheist people can learn stuff from religion. We were right all along. But he's still saying he's an atheist. He's not like S.E. Cupp, where S.E. Cupp says, I'm an atheist, but I think you guys have it better.
Yeah, I wish I could believe in God like you guys.
Yeah, Debattant says, we are atheists, but there is stuff that happens in religion that we could stand from learned on, but we shouldn't believe because it's untrue. But what he's discovering is exactly the sort of responses that we would talk about, you know, in our responses to the Debattant interview, is that when you're us, when you're out there and you're willing to say what atheism is and, you know, you're willing to have those arguments and you're willing to fight the fight when it's necessary, you're called mean, you're called militant, you're called, you're
angry.
And what Debattant is being called now by the Spectator is high-minded and patronizing. There's nothing you can say to these folks there's no cool hand here. You're going to be attacked no matter what you do. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back in a moment, we're going to talk about some of the other stuff that Ask an Atheist has done in 150 episodes and give you some updates on what's been going on with marriage equality and Referendum 74.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And one of the bigger things that we did, I think one of the most important things we did in 2012, when not, you know, prosecuting the show, is our support of Referendum 74. Referendum 74 was marriage equality in Washington State. It was incredibly important. And we thought it was going to be easy. We would just go do some fundraising for Referendum 74. We'd hand the money over to the cause, and that would be the end of it. Didn't happen that way. Washington United for Marriage, they accepted our money because, you know, it was all automated and stuff like that. But then when we wanted recognition, when we wanted to show that we were atheists and we were in support of marriage equality and we were politically active on this subject, the guy who was in charge of community outreach at Washington United for Marriage said no and said, and as you were saying in the break, they didn't even try to lie to us or come up with a good excuse. They just said we were political poison.
Yeah. This is not the first time that this has happened. I know that there was a case in, I know it was in the Midwest or near Mississippi. There was a situation where a girl was not going to be allowed to bring her girlfriend to the prom.
Yeah.
And
the ACLU swarmed to the defense to make sure that this girl could go to the prom with her girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And there was a prominent atheist activist in that region that raised $20,000 so that she'd be able to go to the prom. The ACLU turned it down, and they did, again, like the situation with us, they didn't lie about why. Said, oh, well, we don't want to be involved with any controversial group.
You are the ACLU.
You're the ACLU. Yeah. That's your job.
Yeah, that's your job. And it was amazing because the discrimination against us is not like us getting dragged behind a pickup truck.
Right.
It's not like us getting strung up or murdered or set on fire. But it's far more universal than any group I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it spreads not just into the conservative right wing, you know, religious right, but into people who frankly should know better.
Now, I do want to say that there was a happy ending to this. We sat on it for 6 weeks, and it was some of the hardest, you know, I had to be quiet about it because we were, we spoke to Hemant Mehta about it at Friendly Atheist, and we're like, you've been in this situation, what do you do? And he's like, before you go public, you're probably going to have to go public, but before you go public, try to work within the system, try to work with them, try to figure out, you know, if there's a way to get this done. We sat on it for 6 weeks, we got run around, and it got really, and finally we just said, no, we're done. We're talking about it publicly. And 24 hours after we talked about it, the people who actually make decisions at Washington United for Marriage got wind of it and said, no, this is not how we do things. You're on the webpage. And everything ended the way I hoped it would. Actually, it almost went perfectly, except for one thing that I wish had happened. And I wished Pierce County had carried referendum 74. It didn't.
It was close.
It was very close.
One of the things that was really heartening to me was that as soon as we were recognized for our contributions amongst 400 other organizations and businesses, so were Mormons for Marriage Equality, magically.
Yeah, that was odd.
That was kind of neat.
It's interesting the runaround we did get, because at first they'd say, oh, sure, send us your endorsement. We just want to be part of the coalition page.
Yeah.
We made it clear we're not asking Washington United for Marriage to agree with us on anything. We're just asking that they let us publicly agree with them.
Yeah.
And they would go out of their way to take any religious organization that endorsed them right on their site. If like a minister held up a sign for marriage equality right on the front page. Yeah. We're not even asking for that. We're just saying there's this huge collage of churches and political organizations and donut shops. We just want to be part of that. And it was amazing how they were like, no, send it in again. We didn't get it.
Well,
send it in again.
All right. I don't want to recapitulate the whole thing. I think what you're missing when you talk about that is the decision to not put us on the page was clearly stopping. The buck was stopping clearly in one place.
In one place.
And when we finally transcended, when we finally went public and jumped that buck stopping,
that single person,
we found out that the leadership at Washington, that single person, Dustin Lambro, I think his name was.
Yes, Dustin Lambro.
Okay, Mike, stop now. Is that the leadership at Washington United for Marriage didn't like what was happening. The people working at Washington United for Marriage didn't like what was happening. And they were like, where is the problem here? The people at Washington United for Marriage were doing the right thing. Their heart was in the right place. It was just one guy kind of mucking it up for us. And we got around that. We were on the page. We were welcomed into the community. The law passed. And marriage equality is a fact in Washington State and has been for 5 months now. And yep. that's where we stand today.
One of the first three states to do so.
Exactly. And so that means there are other issues which appear. And, of course, one of the first things that you're going to get when the law says, no, you can't discriminate anymore, is a bunch of people saying, no, we should be allowed to discriminate. For example, a longtime customer of Arlene's Flowers, Rob Ingersoll, was surprised when the order for his wedding was rejected because Rob was marrying a man. Shop owner Baronelle Stutzman told the couple that she wouldn't provide a floral arrangement for their September wedding because of her relationship with Jesus Christ. Stutzman told the Tri-City Herald that she believes she should be able to choose whether to participate in a wedding between two men, adding she has nothing against gay people, oddly. I don't have anything against gay people, except I won't actually do business. Okay. One disqualifies the other. This is not logic, yeah. But this is kind of what I expect. Employee Aaron Hugo resigned because of the issue. The ACLU has also filed a private suit on behalf of the couple, and Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson filed a discrimination lawsuit against Stutzman.
And this is pretty novel, because this is the Washington Attorney General saying, Washington is going to file this suit against you, not on behalf of the couple. The ACLU has their own suit on behalf of the couple, but this is the Washington AG saying, no, I, as Attorney General, am looking at business discrimination here, business practices discrimination, and this is against our state legal code.
Being from, not from Washington, and coming into Washington, I don't know, because you're from here, you might not notice this, but Washington State takes these discrimination problems incredibly seriously, yeah. And I think the state government should be praised for that.
Yeah, I will say something. I will regularly rail against something that my state government does, but on this front, they've always been very, very good.
Yeah.
They step in. They understand the gravity of something. It's not like they sit around and try to pretend it doesn't happen until enough people yell at them. They right. take the initiative. And that's something that I actually feel very, very fortunate for.
Yeah, and I'm really proud to be in Washington State where I have a government that really cares about these discrimination issues.
Yeah, I mean, when 29 states in the union, you can be fired for being gay. Washington isn't one of them. I really am quite appreciative of the fact that we don't let that religious, you know, viewpoint govern our hiring and firing.
But as Mike likes to point out, for every ray of sunshine, there is also a dark cloud, which we now must discuss. There's a new bill in Olympia. 11 Washington state representatives have introduced SB 5927 to amend state law to allow businesses to discriminate like Stutzman, but essentially only against gay people, since the measure would not apply to the denial of services to people under a protected class in federal law, such as race, religion, or disability. There is a glaring lack of protection for religion in state law, said bill sponsor Sharon Brown.
Oh, come off it.
The bill ostensibly addresses the State Civil Rights Act with regard to the right to engage in commerce free from discrimination. By allowing businesses or business owners the right to deny services or goods if they felt doing so was contrary to their sincerely held religious beliefs, philosophical beliefs, or matters of conscience.
We've seen this bill in other states.
Let me distill it down for you. What they're saying is this isn't an anti-gay bill, but this is a bill that lets you discriminate against people unless they are a race that, you know, unless they are, you know, something that's protected by the federal law. The only people who apply to this are gay people. This is an anti-gay law. That's yeah. all this is.
Yeah, this is. Do you remember that that kid's board game, Guess Who?
Yeah.
This is kind of like, I'm not going to say straight out, I know exactly who it is that I'm picking on your side, but I'm going to say, I just nail every single category. I want somebody who has a mustache and glasses and is bald and is, it's like everything.
Yeah.
It's basically straight out just saying, I am going to pass a bill that deals with everything except for this one thing. Oh, I didn't know that this was about that. You know exactly what that is.
Of course.
I love that
the digest is about engaging in commerce free from discrimination. Well, it's the people should be able to, I should be able to sell things and not have my buyers discriminate against me?
This is an ideological win. In order to discriminate, they must write in the language of anti-discrimination laws, which just shows you how crap these laws are.
Clearly,
it just shows you what hypocrites they are when they have to write this one.
Yeah, bigots are the real victims here.
Yeah, of course.
it's like, if I'm not allowed to bully people, I'm a victim.
Well, I actually read the text of the bill, and the whole first section has nothing to do even with any law whatsoever. It's just glorifying religion's place in, apparently,
Absolutely.
Our social history.
Why would you glorify this part?
If you want to, there are things you could glorify. You could glorify the art, you could glorify the music, there are positive things, but instead, you're glorifying the bigotry. Well done.
It's actually saying, like in section one, it's like religions give to food banks and health services. Oh yeah, and I should
unless
be able
they're
to,
gay.
I should be able to deny this to gay people.
So there are always unintended consequences when you attempt to allow discrimination. They're saying, well, you can't discriminate against religion or race or creed or anything like that, except when you allow, when you decide to make an exception and let yourselves discriminate for whatever reason, but you don't have the strength of your convictions to say, no, we are discriminating against gay people, which is what they want, mm-hmm. but they can't say it because we're not bigots. So what you have is
some gay friends.
What you have is a situation where if I'm a business, I can say I'm a member of the voluntary human extinction movement. I don't believe people should breed.
Is that a sincerely held belief, Sam?
It's a sincerely held belief. So because Catholics do not believe in birth control, that's against my beliefs. So I'm not going to do business with them. I'm not discriminating against them because of their beliefs as Catholics. They're allowed to be Catholics. They're allowed to believe in God. But because I sincerely believe in the extinction of humanity, I will not do business with people who, you know, don't use birth control. Or, even better, we could get into the circumcision issue and say people won't do business with Jews. When you have these unintended when you have to write bills in order to dodge the fact that you're a bigot,
you're a bigot.
You enable other bigots who you may not agree with. You're still a bigot, and now bigots you don't like get to use your law. Congratulations. Yeah. You're a jerk. And here are the jerks. We have Sharon Brown from Kennewick, who's the primary sponsor. Jaina Holmquist-Newbury of the 13th District in Grant, Kittius, Lincoln, and Yakima Counties. Mike Hewitt from Walla Walla. Jim Honeyford of the 15th District, which is Sunnyside. Don Benton of Vancouver. Barbara Bailey of Oak Harbor. Mike Padden of Spokane. John Braun of Centralia. John Smith of Colville and Rivers of LaCenter. And Linda Evans-Parlett of Wenatchee. Any surprises?
No. Yeah. Nothing really. Those are all parts of the state which I guess you could say are less enlightened.
This is where I really feel for my friends in Kennewick and the Eastern Washington Atheists and Agnostics meetup groups, where, you know, they are experiencing exactly what I felt when I lived in Arizona all those years ago.
Well, the primary sponsor of this, you know, Sharon Brown, she is the representative of Mr. Ingersoll and Mr. Freed. I mean, they live in the Tri-Cities. She is specifically saying, nope, I side with the flower shop.
If you want to defend yourself, I'll listen. But let's look at what you've written. Let's look at what you've said. Let's look at what you're trying to do.
I look at the situation with this flower shop and I'd say, you know what? I cannot come up with a rational explanation for this situation in which the flower shop is the victim and evil Mr. Ingersoll, who just wants flowers for his wedding, is the bad guy.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. They're not forcing her to attend his wedding. They're not forcing her to approve of his wedding or sign something to approve his wedding. They just want to ask her to put flowers in a vase in a particular arrangement and then accept his money for them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that horrible act of taking his money for a service is so terrible and terrifying to her that I cannot come up with something where that's just not bullying. She's part of the powerful group attacking a smaller group.
Yeah.
So like Christians, it's amazing the amount of martyrdom that they like to heap on themselves in this country.
Well, it is sort of central to the religion, isn't it?
Yeah. It is central to their religion, but they are not being heaved to lions.
No.
Basically, their version of victimhood in this country, according to the religious right, is not always getting their way on everything.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that if you would provide the same services to someone else, and you say, I'm on every other grounds, I would provide this service except for the fact that you're marrying a man, Mr. Ingersoll, that's illegal under Washington state law.
And now I'm looking forward to all the emails of people saying that they should be allowed to discriminate because business. I'm really looking forward to that. So we do have an email, a related email. This is Dave from Ireland, and he writes, how about a shout out for Ireland today, where our constitutional convention has just voted 79% in favor of equal marriage.
Yay!
It will now go to a referendum, and polls suggest we could see a similarly emphatic result. Fingers crossed. I'm straight myself, but like yourselves, feel very strongly about this issue, so it's a good day.
It is a good day.
Yeah it's, It really feels like, I don't want to say it's inevitable, but it really feels like marriage equality and the end of the social acceptability of this style of bigotry is in sight.
Rhode Island just joined the rest of New England in allowing marriage equality. Uruguay, Argentina, Mexico City District, Federal District.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening, and it's just to be able to recognize that being gay is just another way of being human.
And once again, we have to say that the reason we talk about this is the only real reasons we've ever seen to be against marriage equality are religious.
Look at every single organized group that gets together to fight this. There is not a secular one among them.
No, not a one.
They don't, and that's what's interesting is with Referendum 74, they would do interviews with people about the upcoming thing, and the anti-gay people were really against letting the reporters talk to their volunteers. And when they did, it was funny. They said that it was kind of, they said that NPR, their local station, that it was like going on a tour of, they didn't say this, but this is what it sounded like to me. It sounded like it was going on a tour of North Korea, where they lead you through this path, like, okay, now you see this, now you talk to this person,
okay, there's our volunteers over there, but don't talk to them. And whenever they said, you know what, no, we want to talk to their volunteers, the first thing out of their mouth was always Jesus.
So this is what we've done. This is what we've talked about, and this is what's happened since we've talked about it, with 150 episodes of Ask an Atheist. Here's to, I really enjoy doing this. I want to thank you, Mike, and Becky, and everybody who's helped with Ask an Atheist, and everybody who's listened to Ask an Atheist. This being on the radio and doing a radio show is a boyhood dream of mine. It's something I've always wanted to do. I love it. I love the fact that I'm doing it. And I want to keep doing it, and I want to bring this good stuff. We've got a lot of really fun stuff coming. We want to talk about what's going on in, not necessarily fun, but the problems we're having as atheists in Boston. There's the stuff we haven't talked about at all about Bangladesh, but trust me,
oh, God,
that conversation is coming. We want to start... We have a lot of really cool things planned. One of the things we got from our listener poll was people wanted more science. We're bringing that. So if you'd like to talk about 150 episodes and you'd like to meet up with us, you can meet up with us at the Northern Pacific Coffee Company at 401 Garfield Street South in Tacoma, Washington. That's in Parkland. It's the first time we've been there. We visited with them. We had a conversation with the management, and they were excited to have us show up there. So we want to make a good showing. So if you feel like stopping in and having a drink, it's more of a coffee and tea shop, but they do have beer taps there. So stop by and have some fun.
Yep, and there's some sandwiches, all sorts of stuff, and all ages.
Yeah, and it is all ages. That's something that, you know, with the Anthem thing, that was something we really wanted, was an all-ages venue. And
so, kiddos, come by.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Again, thank you, Mike, very much for...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
So, this is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam Olvey.
Oh.
And with me is Rebecca Friedman and Mike Gillis. As usual, our music is by Chris Coleman, Phil Whitfield, and Steve Siemens. Again, post-show is at Northern Pacific Coffee Company, 401 Garfield Street South in Tacoma, Washington. You can give us a call at 206-420-0997 and leave a voicemail like you heard today. Or you can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. And we'll see you guys next week.